coaching in Minnesota right now? I put you on the spot, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Who is coaching in Minnesota right now?
Yeah. Hey, Google, who coaches the Minnesota Wild?
The Minnesota Wild's head coach is Dina Vazin.
Oh, I knew that.
Yes, we all knew. We all knew that.
Hey, aren't you that guy everybody hates?
No, man, no.
This is Tall Can Audio. Follow along on Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio.
Just do it!
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to Tall Can Audio. Matt over here, Rob over there. What are you saying today, man?
I'm saying it's hot. It's hotter than hell. I spent the weekend at a cottage.
Yes.
And I've come home. What's the word?
Purple.
Burnt. Yeah, exactly. I can't even go there.
No.
It's a new day and age, my friend. It was unbelievable how warm the lake was. I was thinking, you know, early July, water's going to be cold still. Man, it had to be 80 degrees, the lake.
I've been getting the same reports off our lake at the old family cottage, which I haven't been able to get fucking close to this summer, but everybody else seems to be loving it and raving about how warm the water is.
Okay, but I don't like that.
No, I know. You almost want a little bit of a, holy fuck, right? A little crispness to it, like your beers.
Well, I came home and immediately got into... So this lake that has, I don't know how many millions of gallons of water in it, and it can get to be 80 degrees, but my pool in the backyard, I can't get above 72. I don't know how this happens. Like, it's like there's some Arctic flow underneath my pool that is keeping it cool. But anyways, like, city water goes in there and drops 10 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
It's bizarre, Matt. But I enjoy it, to be honest with you. That's where I, just before getting on air here, whipped off the skivvies, hopped in.
Oh, I'm sorry for that visual, everybody.
Back out. Oh, yeah.
Theater of the mind.
And it comes with a yippee, just like that.
And then I was in the pool.
Yeah, exactly. As the trunks go over my shoulder.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways.
Yeah, we had at our old family cottage right at the end of the dock. It was like one cold spring. Like it was a spring-fed lake, right? So most of it by the end of the summer would be pretty warm, like you're talking about. But there'd always be like one spot, right, kind of just off to the kind of right of the dock a little bit. You'd end up there and like, oh fuck, still pretty cold coming in here, right? So it was
looking good.
Yeah, exactly. What are you drinking today?
Oh, my friend, let me tell you.
Oh, mon dieu.
I've been dipping into the brew revolution.
Yeah.
Now, you had told me when I said, yeah, you know, I'm gonna grab a big old box of beer.
Not the way Donald Trump said it.
And it's like a loot bag for adults.
Yeah.
So it's got a little bit of everything in there. I am now five types of beer in with them. And I'm not gonna lie to you when I say they're only getting better.
Really?
Honestly.
Because I think these guys are pretty new in the area.
What a year, I believe.
Yeah.
And so you were telling me that Brian 5 or 6 was...
Brian 5 or 6 is all about the Brew Rev.
So, on air, I've already talked about the James Brown Ale. I took down the Saison of the Witch. So up at the cottage, I just took up a couple. I was only there overnight. I took a Luck Be a Lager tonight.
Love that.
So, and it branded itself as a light lager.
Okay.
Now 4.5.
As opposed to your heavy lagers.
Yeah. I think they, and I went, oof, does that mean light beer? I don't want a light beer. But it's 4.5, so it sort of straddles between that traditional light beer and your, and when I cracked that bad boy and the first pull on it, it tasted like, it transported me back to maybe grade 7 and dad's beer. Like it had that lager, like, real lager flavor. Like, to me, it didn't taste light in any way.
Okay.
To me, very good. I then moved on to the Cashmere Norwegian Pale Ale.
Heavily contested right now.
Yeah. And it was, honestly, it tasted, after two sips, it tasted like two more, at least.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And then what I'm having today is the beer I finished off with, which is the Walking on Sunshine. Yeah, New England style IPA. And so it is
NIPA.
Yeah, but honestly, and I know I lean towards hyperbole a lot. This is easily the best beer I've had this summer.
Wow.
And I was moving away from the IPAs a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, it's 6.2, 6.5, somewhere in that neck of the woods. Doesn't taste it. And for those of you out there who, let's be honest, there's a lot of you, I know, who are taking down the IPAs, but they're thinking, it's a little hoppier than I'd like, but all the cool kids are doing it.
Yep.
This is very smooth, has a nice little hint of citrus. I want to say lemon, and that may just be because the accent on the can is yellow. I have no idea. Sure. But it has a little bit of that, and it is incredibly good drinking beer.
So this is one of those ones that people are going to want to be able to find for themselves. Now that you have described it as your, so far, best beer of the summer, we'll make sure Rob sends us a photo.
Absolutely.
At Tall Can Audio on Instagram so you people know what you're looking for. Give us a follow there. All the beers always go up there. We're also on Twitter at Tall Can Audio. Man, it sounds like you have maybe a new local champion in terms of breweries.
Yeah, well, and honestly, in terms of the things that I've explored in the last little while, stuff that I've grabbed that I've never had before, I know the listener doesn't want to hear it, but Stalwart to me had a couple of products that are right there that I'll go back to.
But I quite enjoyed them too.
But I'm going up to the cottage for 2 weeks later in the month, and I'm just grabbing up some Brew Revolution, probably Cashmere and Walking on Sunshine, probably about a dozen of each. Boom.
Wow. There you go. I have nothing anywhere near as adventurous to talk about today. I have circled back for the first time in a little while on the show, the Bose Lug Tread. Obviously big here in the nation's capital, kind of spreading out across the province. And I think for a lot of people in this area, Bose was kind of the first exposure, like the first big kind of local craft. I remember it probably was the first outside of maybe the big guys, right, that I had tried here in the area. I always prefer the Lug Tread on tap more than I do in the bottle or in the can. I don't always love it in the can. You know how it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
So, right now, enjoying this one, though, for the first time in a little while. So, you know, thought it'd be cool to kind of circle back to just a little bit. I have been trying quite a bit from Ridge Rock, which I think I've wrapped those up now. Also, I've mentioned a few in the past now, having come back around to Evergreen. So this was just kind of an easy, you know what, I haven't had that in a while. Grabbed one and do it up. So it's the big boy bottle. A Bose Lug Tread, which I'm sure we've covered before on here, and most people who are into such things are familiar anyway. So
For sure.
If you haven't had a chance, make sure you're always checking back, especially if you're one of these people, and God love you, but that only comes around every now and then. Make sure you're scrolling up and down where you're listening to this on your podcast app. We have had some great guests here recently. We've had Elliot Friedman, we've had Eric Engels, both of Sportsnet, we've had Michaela Schreider, going back a little further, a pile of people from TSN, you know, your James Duthies and your Ray Ferraros, Chris Cuthbert, I may have tripped over my own tongue there, Chris Cuthbert, lots of great guests here recently on the network. If you're kind of just in and out, make sure you go back and check some of those out, and subscribe and follow wherever you're listening to this. We got a couple series to get to today. I think we said we were going to start in the West. So we got Vancouver taking on Minnesota. And this one to me is another one that might be interesting in kind of a stylistic matchup. Vancouver has some of that really hot young talent, run and gun, a pile of skill. And then you have Minnesota that's a much older team. They've kind of been on the fringes for a while. Some years they're in, some years they're out. But they're not getting any, almost, I was going to say almost like the Leafs of a few years ago. The Leafs never actually got in, but stuck in that middle ground where you weren't getting top end picks and you're just kind of signing older free agents. And you're looking at guys like Eric Stahl.
Zuccarello.
Yeah, Eric Staal hanging around there. Mikko Koivu still around.
Suter,
a bad defense.
Parise.
Yeah. At first blush, what do you think of this matchup and your interest level in it?
Yeah, well, first of all, they're not in yet. So just like the Leafs of old.
Okay, it's a good point.
Your Bozak, Van Riemsdyk eras. Yeah. Minnesota is not in yet, and I'm not saying they're not getting in.
Right.
But
this is the play-ins, not the playoffs.
Yeah, there's some really interesting numbers, right, when you look at the way the two teams play, and you've touched on it stylistically. First of all, in looking at this, I'm amazed that how potent Vancouver's power play is. How sluggish Minnesota's was up until Christmas, apparently, and then lit it up in the second half. I find older players, right, getting in a bit of a groove. But I'm amazed at the impact of Quinn Hughes on the power play.
Yep.
And our boy, JT Miller.
Universally panned on TCA anyway.
Absolutely. All through the year. Both those guys had 25 power play points this year.
Yeah.
Right? So you had a rookie who's about 5'6" and a 120 soaking wet.
Yeah.
Right? And then this guy who, yeah, as you say, we couldn't say enough bad things. Right, about Jim Benning
deal more than about him. But
JT, you know, he may be a great guy. It's nothing personal. Which only means it's not personal to me, but it may be personal to you. But yeah, the impact that those guys, two guys who weren't there last year, have had, right? And I think I look at the goaltending. Man, the Dubnyk-Stalock combo.
Yep.
It certainly is not your Halak-Rask combo, right? You know what I mean?
Your Hudobin-Bishop.
Yeah, and especially when Stalock's the guy.
Stalock took that title or that job away about halfway through the year, and that's not good.
Honestly, Stalock's record is like 20-11 and change, whatever it is, and with a 918, and Dubnyk is a sub 900, and he's a sub 500 player.
It's Edmonton Dubnyk all over again.
It's Edmonton Dubnyk.
It's Edmonton, everybody.
This is it. Can I get the 1 year Edmonton Talbot?
Right.
Can we do that? No, we can't.
So again.
Yeah, exactly. So my feeling on this is, what an interesting, who's going to be able to rev this up quicker? The young kids in Vancouver?
Yeah.
Or the old stodgy guys in Minnesota? And my gut feeling is, I'm leaning towards Vancouver.
Yeah, and we've talked about this dynamic in a couple of different series, and we will again. What finds it first? Who finds what first? Is it the system that you can round back into and understand what to do quick? Or is it the kids that just want to run and gun like it's road hockey? What happens fast? And I think this is another one of those types of matchups. If Pettersson and Horvat and Hughes roll in and they're ready to, just dance, it's going to be a short return for Minnesota. But if they can kind of find it and, you know, if it takes the young people or the skill guys a little longer to find their hands again, then maybe Minnesota can make this interesting. I would, you know, you mentioned, and rightfully so, what's happened in the Minnesota crease. What about Vancouver? Because Markstrom was really good this year. And then he had to leave the team for a bit due to some family issues.
He had some Stalock numbers, actually.
It's true. But he's never shown that before, right? He was hot to a level that he had never been before. Now you take all this time off. Are you prepared to bank on him just being that again? Or does he go back to the Markstrom that we've all known for a little while? Do you have any sort
of guess as to what
he is?
Honestly, but if you hearken back to, I want to say it was maybe the World Juniors here in Ottawa or right around that 08-09, and
yeah,
he was this monster goalie and he was just going to be the next thing, right? And
11 years ago.
Yeah, well, this is it, right?
Yeah.
A Florida draft pick. I think he came over in the Luongo deal, right? And it just goes to show, I think, how long that process can be. I have faith in him. I really do. In terms of the pedigree and the finally the maturation of it, mm-hmm. over a fading Dubnyk and a sort of a journeyman Stalock, right? Yeah. Like I think in terms of I'm willing to go with the guy who I think has found it versus the guy who's lost it and the guy who may never have it.
Okay, that's fair. That may be the most harsh possible way to frame it, but there it is.
Well, sorry about that, Alex. You know, it's again, it's nothing personal.
You're this is a never were.
Would have been.
Yeah.
To me, and help me out now, with all that's happened, the Cummings, the toing and the froing, who's coaching in Minnesota right now? I put you on the spot, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Who is coaching in Minnesota right now?
Yeah. Hey, Google, who coaches the Minnesota Wild?
Oh, I knew that.
Yes, we all knew. We all knew that. Dean Evason.
You know that's staying in. that's gold, man.
Totally fine, man. Totally fine. Because I'm like, I know the GM.
Yeah,
after all.
Okay.
But then if you look at that December 31st sort of change where their power play went from being atrocious to being a top five power play in the league.
Yeah.
Different coaching. New message, all those sorts of things, right? And you sort of go, it's so interesting to me in terms of that messaging and how that goes. Whereas Travis Green, honestly, the two of them, I look and I think of the two of them. It's like their heads have been squished together. I'm not entirely sure. Half formed or not fully formed.
Getting rough again.
There's a reason why Matt does all these other high-profile shows alone.
Okay, and these other ones don't make that easy. No, don't listen to our previous show. Just come on. It's going to be fine.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Anyways, I like that this is a group that Travis Green has been working with.
Yeah.
Young guys. I think they look to him.
For as much as you and I panned a bunch of the moves that the Canucks made, not just this past offseason, but the one before, I think there is sort of, for now, this nice blend when you are trying to get up and going again with those young stars. You do have your Jay Beagles, right? And your for Tyler Myers and this and that. Those contracts in a year or two, when you have to re-sign these other young guys, are going to be a disaster. And that was always, I think, our issue with it, was the length of them and what you were handcuffing yourself to. But right now, if we're talking about who has the edge between, you know, veterans willing to buckle down and play the system or kids that can find their hands really fast, Vancouver up front has kind of a nice blend of that. And yeah. I think that might help them here.
Yeah, no, I like Vancouver in this. Although,
oh, I do too.
Yeah. Although the interesting thing is the puck possession numbers were interesting, right? In terms of 5-on-5, Minnesota kind of dominates that, which flies in the face of everything else that
yes.
that I really think about it. And in terms of their sort of surging power play, now, that was it. By the time they play again, that'll be 4.5 months.
Yep.
So I think that surge in the new year, that 2.5 month surge, I think you throw that out the window.
Yeah, if you were hot, you're not hot anymore, right? It's not hot.
You were so not hot. So not hot.
It's like
hot.
Looking back at your old college photos and stuff.
Or a girlfriend, whatever. Sorry about that.
Yeah, here it is.
I'm killing it tonight.
I like Vancouver, maybe in three, man, but no more than four. I don't think this one is particularly close.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on all that.
Well, why don't we move it east? And the last one of these we did, you and I talked about whether or not Nashville, Arizona would be the least interesting out of any of these play-in series that were going to be presented. And I was pretty heavy on side with that would be the case. But the more I read about and looked at the Florida Panthers versus the New York Islanders, I think they're in the running, man.
Well, I think you, my friend, should buckle up. And now maybe by the time hockey rolls around, you won't have any time for this, because to me, this is Toronto-Columbus light. Right. This has a lot of the same.
Yeah.
Same.
It's a little different.
Not much. Not much when you look at it.
I don't think, I know why you're making that comparison. I don't think Florida is as loaded up front as Toronto. And I don't like, think, all right. And I don't think New York is as.
And for your, our French listeners, Léger, it's, I'm not saying it's a carbon copy. A
long time ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Although maybe Eric Engels brought a few back for us. Thanks.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. There's berets and baguettes everywhere. We're totally good. Striped horizontal shirts. We're totally good.
Talking with the halves today.
Running from a fight. There's all kinds of things happening here. Okay, and I get it. And there's some unsavory parts here that would make you go, I don't like that full comparison. But anyways, if you look at this and you look at the Panthers sort of go for broke versus the styles of the Islanders, the defensive stylings.
Yes.
How that all works out, right? I think this is going to make for a more interesting series than Nashville, Arizona, and their no-name yellow box branding that they got going for them.
The Special K of play-in series.
This is it. Whereas this, to me, I am...
This is a Fruit Loop for you?
Well, and if for no other reason, a couple of stud coaches... Right, I'll be interested to see, you know, with
that's true.
Couple guys with relatively new to their teams. I was reading something when looking at this series, and the question that was posed was, how excited do you think Joel Quenneville would be? It may have been Yost on TSN. How excited do you think Joel Quenneville would have been if you told him in September that he'd have a fourth ranked offense?
Right,
he'd be like, and I'm ad-libbing here now. And you're going to add a two-time Norris Trophy Vezina Trophy winning goalie. You're going to add both those things.
Giddy up!
We're going to kill it. In the play-ins.
Yeah.
What the hell is going on here? Right, which speaks to, honestly, Bobrovsky's horrible numbers. As nice as some of those, the Huberdeau, the Hoffman, the Barkovs, the Dadonovs.
They got Chris Driedger. They're going to be all right.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
How about this? Will you, just throwing it out there, will we see Chris Driedger in this best of five series?
Game three.
Wow. Okay. So you've got this going as well for Florida as I do, by the sounds of it.
Well, and I don't, actually. This is a toss. I mean, if you ask me to pick, I'm going to go with the Isles in five. But to me, I have a vested interest in the Panthers winning, because if you go back about 7 months, I said if the Isles made the playoffs with that shitty defense corps, right,
that no name,
I would eat my hat.
Yeah.
Right. And so
it somehow got me torched for weeks on Twitter and Instagram.
How many things in life, Matt,
you don't know shit. Yeah, you're stupid.
How many things have we done, Matt, that in the 20 years that I've known you that you have totally had to wear?
Yeah, all right.
That's how that works, right?
We got Baker Mayfield on defense. Is that right? I think is.
Yeah, honestly, it's the Taves, but not the good
Dante,
one.
Yeah, exactly. Right? The knockoff Taves.
It's not even from the same province. Like, come on, man. It's anyways, clearly they're doing something.
Well, so you've spelled it out here quite nicely. Bobrovsky sitting in about a 900 coming into this,
just shy.
Both Greiss and Varlamov. On the island are at 913 and 914 respectively. Yeah. So the defense has been much better, or the goaltending has been much better, but so has the defense. And those things often obviously work in tandem.
That's a big assist to Trotz right there.
Yeah. Serious case of the Trotz, man.
Yeah.
Oof. That is the matchup that we're looking at here, is sort of can Hoffman and Barkov and Huberdeau get hot for a little while, and Dadonov, like their offensive depth isn't bad, but the Islanders, they're totally happy to, they push you outside and they just get you frustrated. And over a 5-game series, you know, it'll take its toll on you and it will frustrate you. And if the goaltending is as strong, I can't believe that I'm sitting here looking at Thomas Greiss and Varlamov and going, I think the Islanders have the goaltending advantage over a team that just signed a 10 million dollar guy for 7 years.
Yeah.
Well, but that's where we sit right now. And it's possible he gets hot, but he hasn't shown us that.
Right. And you look at the combo of Grice and Leonard, and they let Leonard go, which I didn't understand. Right. Now, Leonard went on and posted equally solid numbers in Chicago and Vegas this year.
Yeah.
But still, I'm amazed that Grice has put back-to-back years together. Mm-hmm. They added in Varlamov, which again, to me, was a bit of a, on a five-year deal, that was a bit of a eye-opener or eyebrow raiser, if
there
you will.
Yeah.
And you sort of go, but there it is. And I think at the end of the day, when you're going to bank all your scoring on Barzal, yes. Anders Lee, not as great as he's been in the past, but Brock Nelson and Eberle, and you just sort of look around and go, ah, but somehow you got to put your money on the goalies who have done it, as opposed to pinning it on the goalie that you hope can buck his entire season.
The Islanders are my new Bruins, because for a couple of years here, we did these previews both in the playoffs and in the regular season, and I would look at Boston and go, I don't see it. Like, it keeps happening, but I don't get it. I look at the depth, I don't see it. But when you look at the Isles, maybe even more exaggerated, especially on the defense, right? Like, who are these guys?
Not more warranted. To me, I never agreed with you on the Bruins.
No, I know. I only said mine.
I know. But I'm saying I'm solidly with you on the Islanders front. Like, to me, this is a team that finished the year on a 7-game skid, I think. Oh, no, yeah. We forgot about my boy JG.
That's true.
So,
but they were tumbling hard out of the
as soon as they got him, right? They acquired him, and then he brought that Ottawa stank with him, because he just went 7 games in a row, right in the toilet. Like, let's be honest, if the season had continued, those guys aren't making it.
Yeah, they were probably tumbling.
They were free falling.
Yeah.
And so, yet I think the break, and you know, you really get that, you know, slump buster out of the way in the biggest way. I think that the Islanders may be the team that the break has done the most for.
Yeah, I think we're going to talk a little about that in the next one of these when we look at both Colorado and Columbus. But in terms of getting guys back from injury, but you're right, yeah, in terms of stopping an ice cold streak, the Isles needed this bad, right? So
yeah,
and I'm with you. I'm picking them probably in no more than four for me.
Yeah. See, to me, I think this is a pick 'em in five. But if I had to go, I would go Islanders. Yeah. I would go Islanders on the defensive structure and the goaltending.
Right
now, we look at, if you harken back to, I would say a year ago, but sorry, it's now 14 months ago at least, because it was prior to the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember in Columbus last year, Bobrovsky, man, there was a part.
Killed it.
Well, there was a part in the year where they send him home. They're like,
yes,
don't even come.
No, that's true.
Stay away from here, because, and then he had a really up and down season.
Yeah.
And then,
but a 9-2-5 in the playoffs.
This is it. This is it. And so that is the wild card, the X factor that's out there. But the thing is, he was able to get his shit together behind the Columbus defense,
yep,
and the Tortorella system.
That's right.
He's now got to find his way to get past the first, second, and third chance opportunities that the Florida defense provides
for
the other team.
We're up and out. Right?
A more porous defense you will not find this side of Toronto.
I'll take Toronto's D all day over that Florida
team. Of course you will. Of course you will. That's a conversation for another day, Matt.
It'll come. As we will on the next one, touch on these 8-9 series, which to me are two of, and I guess it should be no surprise if they're that closely matched.
Two of the best.
Yeah, well, yes, for sure. So that'll be interesting. We will continue as we inch ever closer to summer hockey, man. You still feeling like this is going to happen? We're going to get there. There's positive tests all over the place,
but I am getting
to the bubble, baby.
Yeah, well, when you look at, and we talked about this in a previous show, just the shit show that some other sports are, right? And you look at MLS falling apart like literally
postponing games already,
falling apart, teams MLB, not showing up, the entire team saying we're not doing it.
Yeah.
I feel very confident. Get to the hub, as you just said, get inside the bubble in the hub cities, and I think I'm loving hockey's chances of getting this shit done.
I'm with you.
And the closer we get, like within weeks of the airing of this, I'm quite stoked, to be honest with you, that I'm going to be able to watch like a hockey all the time.
It's going to be like it's going to be like an Olympics.
I'll just be able to roll in and go, hey, what's on TV today? Click. Oh, look at that. Or click.
Yep.
I don't have a team. I don't have a vested interest. But to me, I'm getting more and more excited about it all the time.
Well, and I've said in a few places now or a few times now, I love the idea that I think across Canada, you're going to be seeing people with their TVs out on their back deck or by their pool or on their cottage docks or whatever. Those, you just get one of those white screens and your little projectors, right? And your trailer park people. And you're going to be able to watch this outdoors it's going to be an extended Olympics, multiple games per day. I'm stoked, man. I can't wait to get this going.
Well, and with both hubs going, three games a day, and you're looking at
noon till 1 a.m.
You're staggering. Well, this is it. And the boys in the morning show that I listen to here, they're like, there could be still hockey going when I show up at work. Last night's hockey games still rolling.
It's true.
Because to me, I think it's and it's very vague, and we don't need to get too much into it. But the idea that the play-in games they're not going with regular season rules, I think is a bad choice.
I thought they were.
No, shootout, they're not.
Okay, we're going playoff rules, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then shit could get really interesting, which we've talked about on here before. Game one of the day goes to triple overtime. You know, shit's backed up and there's a problem for the whole day, right?
And so that's when you have, like in the old minor hockey days, you know, you're working in the playoffs or in a tournament. Shit's got to be decided. You got kids up from the next game, just dressed from the waist down. They're all sitting at the glass looking, what's happening? When do we get on? When do we get on next? Would you fuckers get on with this?
Exactly.
I got to play.
Both coaches are forced. Put your back up. And Chris Driedger, get in there, buddy. Like,
you're all about the Driedger, eh? You're all about the Driedger. Yeah.
I don't know. He had all but taken the job for Florida by the end of the season.
Is goalie Bob get in? I think you're totally wrong, man. We're going to make this an even. Straight up. Goalie always, Bob, get in there.
Always great stuff on TCA. Make sure you are following or subscribed wherever you're listening to this. We're on social media at Talkan Audio on Twitter and Instagram, at Captain Blowhard on Twitter. If you want to give him a follow to be told what to think now and then, it's fun.
Well, it's really, I'll bring a little insight into your life.
There you go. Except for those couple of weeks where he's bare-assing it at a cottage lake here coming up at the end of the summer. So,
yeah.
Make sure you stick around, give a follow in all those places. We got one more of these to do, man. The 8-9's coming up. We'll do that in a week or so, I think. So
sure.
Yeah. We'll catch you all on the next one. See ya.
See ya.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app.